Last week, if you remember, we were looking at what I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk to you guys about was the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And the Lord had revealed to me last week that, of course, that, that those that are called as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers, as we read in the book of Ephesians, says that they are here for to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, as I told you, my mind immediately went to gifting. And I'm like, well, how am I going to train people in gifts I don't even have? And not that that ever stops God, because he usually uses people who are not even doing whatever he's talking about to talk about it. Like, as far as we, if the Bible can be used as a good guide, Paul was neither married nor did he have children. Some of the most solid advice for married couples and for parents came through a single guy. You know, so I mean, and God does that kind of thing because it rocks our world, and it's not where I think sometimes he does it just because it's the exact thing we're not expecting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? God does this. So it's not like that'd be beyond his ability, but as I was thinking through, I'm like, how do would I equip people in gifts I don't even have? And then the Lord brought my attention to the fact that it was about equipping the saints for the work, not for the gift of. So the gift is how you do the work, but the work is what what the teaching, the preaching, and the leading is done to do, is to equip you to be ready to do the work. And if you remember, we turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 last week, and you can turn there again now real quickly, because we said, remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts, doesn't it? And talks about the ministries, and then it also talks about those who are gifts, but particularly talks about gifts, which everybody has, and ministries, which everybody has in the body. There's no such thing as a Christian that does not have a gift and does not have a ministry. That does not exist. That scenario is non-existent. Are you guys following me? Is that true? Do you believe that to be the truth? The scripture is very clear that when the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about ministries, it's talking about, it uses a body analogy, that not everybody is a hand, not everybody is a foot, not everybody is an eye, not everybody is an ear, not everybody is a tongue, not everybody is a mouth. But, you know, God has so crafted the body that each part does its share, right? And without all the parts working together, it's a crippled body, right? And the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. And the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you, right? There is no such as insignificance in the body of Christ as well. Amen? There might be some people that are out in the forefront, you see them more, but that doesn't mean that their job is more important. In fact, there is no such thing as more important, less important in the body. Amen? You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that some organs and some tissues and some cells don't have a more profound, more far-reaching effect than others, but none are more important than the other. Are you following? Right. It's all important. Amen? Yeah. And it's, God has given us purpose and given us giftings. Amen? Yeah. And so you read about that in chapter 12, but then he goes right from there to start talking about love. And how, you know, it doesn't matter if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I am just making noise, right? And, you know, if I had a prophecy and understood all mysteries and could proclaim, you know, everything that God ever said or did or intended, if I have not love, I am useless, right? By my gift and my ability to minister to others is less than nothing if I have not love. Even if I have that, or if I have such great, tremendous gift of faith that I could move mountains with the word and yet have not love, I am useless in the body.
Yes.
He's making a big deal about love.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Some of you know, this is part of equipping. It's telling you, love, 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 make much of love, right? And then he ends chapter 13 by saying, you know, and so there remains these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of all of them is love, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm telling you now, chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Amen. God wants you to desire gifts. And I don't think that's something that on average this church has desired, maybe much ever, but certainly in a long time.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the truth. Now, I mean, now I know that, you know, I'm personally of the persuasion that a church that you go into and they have gift upon gift upon gift upon gift upon gift, Paul would probably write to them much like he did the Corinthians. Let it be by two, at most by three. You know, because how is it possible, brethren, that when you come together, every freaking one of you have got something to say? You're never going to go home, right? He says, let it be by two, or at most, let's draw the line here, by three, right?
Yes.
And let the others remain silent, right? God can get what he needs to get done through two or three. Amen? And so, you know, so it's not, so you can go way overboard on the other end and miss the spirit entirely and get in the flesh and acts of emotion, and you can get way in the ditch on the other end where the gifts never even show up.
Right.
You know, you see what I'm saying? And he says, I want you to desire them. Desire spiritually. So this is part of equipping you, is telling you, you need to desire them. You need to cultivate a desire for them. Where's it going to come from? The first thing I taught you, and that's love, love, love. Because the reason for the gift is because you love the brethren.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, what does it say here? And let's go ahead and just read it. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. Who can tell me why he told them that? We covered that last week. Especially that you might prophesy. Don't read it. I know you can read it.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah.
What?
It edifies. Yeah.
Because it edifies. It builds up my brother. It's the most direct path from A to B. Right? If I speak in an unknown tongue, meaning in other words, if I'm praying in the Spirit, that edifies me. If I'm operating in the gift of tongues, which is different, then it still doesn't do you any good unless someone interprets it. So it's really not a direct road to A to B. It's A to B to get to C, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you prophesy, it's just a beeline, straight line from where you are to where you need to go, right?
Yes.
So it's practicing an economy of grace to just go from A to B. So he says, he didn't say don't desire the other gifts. He says to just especially desire prophecy. And one of the reasons also is because, see, if you teach someone or give them a word of wisdom or give them a word of knowledge, it might speak to either edification or exhortation or comfort. But prophecy will do all three at once. It'll edify.
Yes.
It'll exhort. And it'll bring comfort. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, I pray especially that you might prophesy. So if you haven't desired it, stop that and start desiring it. Right?
Yeah.
How do I do that? I fall in love with my brother and my sister.
Yeah.
I want the best for them. I want to not just go up there and tell them empty words from Mark's heart that makes them feel good. I want God to speak through Mark to make them feel good, because that's the only words that matter.
Amen.
Mark's words are not going to help you. They might make you feel good, but you can still be defeated. Listen to Mark's words, because they have no power. I don't sit on the throne. Only one guy does. Amen?
Amen?
His words have power. And so I seek the throne of God. I get before his feet and I say, Father God, I'm asking you for wisdom for my brother. I'm asking you for wisdom for my sister. I'm praying for them. I'm interceding for them. Give me a word that I might speak. Amen? And sometimes those words will be words he gives you in prayer, never to be uttered in their ear. Other times he'll say, go to them and say it. Are you following?
Yes.
And it's important that we begin to learn the difference between those two, because sometimes we get way ahead of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not really been a big problem in here. Most of the time, we unhook, if we're going to use the analogy of getting the cart before the horse. You know, we're not the people that run out ahead of the horses. I think that really, historically, we've unhooked the horses from our cart, smacked the horses in the butt, and they're running down the highway, and we're sitting still doing nothing in the cart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not what we need to do either. We need to seek God's face and say, Father God, if you move me, I will move.
Amen.
Amen? Because I desire to see edification, exhortation, and comfort in my brothers and sisters. Amen?
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
So desire it. This is equipping. Desire it. Now, I can't make you desire it, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't.
Make it
you see what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm telling you, but only you can cultivate it. And how do I cultivate it? Love, love, love. Just fall in love with the Father and you'll find yourself loving your brother.
That's right.
And don't we see that in John? He says, anyone who says they love God and hates their brother is a liar. Well, if you just turn that around to the positive, it would say anyone who honestly loved God is passionate about his brother and sister.
Yeah.
Amen? Isn't it true?
Yeah.
And you know what it's like. You can allow your love to grow cold towards the Father. And what do you think is going to be the result with your brother and your sister? You care about them, but you're not going to get all worked up. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It's not really going to own your heart. But, you know, if God owns your heart, so does your brother and your sister.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So this is all wholesome, good stuff, right? Now, how many people listening to the words of Matthew West in the last song were encouraged?
I was.
Yes, I was.
I was?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I forget the words. You saw that whenever it blacked out. We all didn't know the words. But, you know, I know some of them, you know. I mean, the mended... God sees wounded, you know. When we see broken, he sees whatever, you know. It's all the reciprocals of one another. Whatever I see negative, God sees positive, right? I'm not done yet, right?
He sees it in the making.
He sees it in the making, right? And this, what was he doing? He was speaking edification to us, wasn't
Amen.
He?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
He was speaking edification through a gifting that he has. Well, you know, this right here, that's something that you need to desire in spiritual gifts, is that I might edify. Amen. That right there was an example of edification. To build up. Amen. To encourage. Right? And notice the end result of his song was not to build you up in false hope, but to direct you towards the only one who is our hope.
Amen.
Right? See, that is true gifted. Are you following? Because it doesn't point to Matthew. It points to Jesus. I can listen to the song. I can see Matthew singing it, but I hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And when I'm done, I'm really not thinking about Matthew. I'm thinking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift.
I couldn't have told you the man's name to begin with.
Yeah. I only know it because I had to YouTube it. But
that's the point.
Yeah, exactly.
When he was writing that song, that was the point.
Yeah. I you know that from having read something?
Yeah,
or?
I've read about Matthew. Yeah. But that's the point when he was, you know, certain other songs he's written too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you to say, oh, well, Matthew's a good singer.
Mm-hmm.
It's for you to see that this is how God is.
Amen. Amen. And that is what causes real edification, exhortation, and comfort. So what I am right now encouraging you guys to do is seek the best gifts. Amen. And desire it because you want to see your brother and your sister edified, exalted, and encouraged and comforted. Amen. Now let's keep on reading this just for a moment and then we're going to close because this wasn't going to be long. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. Because. So now we know why. What we're about to read is going to tell us why desire prophecy above anything else. He who speaks a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks to edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So the other speaking to God, this is speaking to men. Amen?
Yes.
He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the body, the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, so that the church might receive edification. Amen? Notice, he doesn't lose that ever. He's staying focused. He's keeping our nose to the grindstone. This is what it's about. It's about edifying. It's about building up. It's about encouraging. It's about comforting. Amen? Now, this also tells me an awful lot about God. Because if the gifts come from the Spirit, and they are there in order to edify and exhort and to comfort, then that tells me that edification, exhortation, and comforting are not lies. They're the truth.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
When God speaks to you and it comforts you, it's not like when Mark comes up and just says something random because I want to make you feel better. that may or may not be something you can rely upon at all, right? But, you know, when God says it, when he speaks comfort, it's because it's the truth about you.
It's not
Amen.
A clanging symbol.
It's not a what?
It's not a clanging symbol.
It's not a clanging symbol. That's right. It's absolute and it's truth. It has the authority of God behind it. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what good will it do unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, by prophecy or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction between the sounds, how will it be known what is being piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is being spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them are without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, which I want to see that be a desire of yours. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. See, I imagine Paul wasn't just speaking this in the air. I think he was speaking this to edify them towards something they weren't doing yet, so that they would start doing it. In other words, one of the reasons why when they showed up, everybody had something to say is because this was more about you hearing me than me edifying you.
Look at me,
right?
Look at me.
I'm the star shining, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Gifts are for other people. Gifts enable you to serve, not to be a limelight. If it draws attention to you, it's already not doing its job. Mm-hmm. Amen? Which is why God said those that lead in my church will be servant leaders. They will not be CEOs. Are you following?
Yes.
This is the reason why I have taken such a strong stance against large organizational churches. Because it is completely contrary to the biblical model. You got one person, the buck stops with them. They are put on a pedestal, literally and figuratively. Everybody thinks that they are the gift in the body. And it is run like a business, not a family. Are you seeing?
Yes.
There's nothing New Testament about that. It is so counter to New Testament theology that you would almost have to work to create something more counter to New Testament theology. He said, whoever's going to be the greatest among you and lead you, they're going to have to do it on their knees because they're servants.
Yes.
You know, if you are listening to someone, and hopefully you never listen to me and think, wow, you know, Mark is our leader. Well, I might be leading you, but I'm leading you as a servant. I'm your servant. I'm not better than anyone in this room. God has graced me with the ability and the desire that is not inherent to Mark. It came from him to serve the greater. And you remember what we learned on Sunday. Paul called himself a drink offering that was poured out on the Philippians. Remember, the lesser is poured out on the greater. The Philippian church was the greater. Paul, you and I look at him and think, oh my gosh, almighty Paul. No. He says, I'm the lesser poured out upon you. You're the greater. Right? He says, you can remember some of this language, can't you, through the words of Paul when he would say things like, If we are destitute for the work of the gospel, happy are we for you because we're destitute not for ourselves but for your good. Right?
Yes.
Everything was for them, right? Not for Paul, because it wasn't about Paul. He wasn't the CEO of the church. He was the servant of the church. Amen? And when you have a gift, you may not be the gift like a Paul or like a Silas or like an elder or whatever, but you have one, and in that capacity, you have been graced by God to serve someone, not to be the limelight. Amen? So he says here, you know, I'm glad you guys are zealous for gifts, but let it be for the edification of the body that you seek to excel in them. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, I'm going to stop there. because I we need to deal with other issues, but this was just a quick blurb of edification for you, and just using it on the coattails of what Matthew did in the song, you know, just hearing those words speak edification. They speak comfort, don't they? And, you know, and it's because of the fact that the words that he's speaking are not, they're not based upon just a whim. They're based upon what Scripture has told us, amen? It's not empty words. They came from our Father, amen? They are ones that you can stand on, amen? And you, every one of you, have got a gift to do the same thing for others that Matthew did for every one of us tonight, amen? So, you know, we need to seek, pursue love, but seek spiritual gifts. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Amen?
Yeah.
So can I leave that there and know that because you guys are not just hearers, you're doers, you're going to start doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? You're going to desire this.
Yes.
You're going to go to the Father God and say, Father God, I don't, even if you happen to be the person in the room right now that really, quite honestly, don't desire it, then you go to the Father God and you pray this prayer. Father, I don't desire it, but I want to desire it. And fix me.
Mm-hmm.
Fix me. Right? You know, he who began the good work will complete it. Right?
Yes.
And the Spirit of God who is in us will cause you to will and do after God's good pleasure. So he'll fix you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want it, just tell him I want to want it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he'll get you where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Isn't it true?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Yes.
And he doesn't always make it easy.
No, he doesn't, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, but, you know, don't be surprised if he doesn't make it easy.
Yeah, that's true.
He sometimes puts you in a place where it's chafing.
Yeah, of course,
and
yeah.
That's
almost always going to be the case.
Yeah.
That's almost always going to be. And the truth of the matter is God doesn't have to work hard at that.
No.
Because we live on a planet with other people. I don't care who you're living with. It wouldn't be better if you changed your roommate.
That's right. That's
because guess what? The next person, they're a person.
That's right.
And you know what? They will grate on your nerves eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe not today. You might think they're the best thing since sliced bread until you finally, one day, reality smacks you in the forehead like a brick and you realize this guy's actually a jerk. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of a jerk too.
Amen.
Anybody ever come to those realizations?
You know?
So, you know, this is the way it is. We're all jerks, and we just have to learn to get around with one another and love one another in spite of our jerkiness,
yeah.
Right?
I have to love myself.
Amen.
Along with that.
There were some things that have stuck with me the last several months, but it was in regards to trying to fix somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we meet people and we start to judge and we want to try and fix them. We can't fix.
No, we can't.
I mean, if we try to fix, we create problems for that person, for ourselves. And so
yeah.
God's the only
yeah.
one who can fix.
That's right.
If
that's
we will
right.
allow him to do that.
That's right.
And I think that's where a lot of times we trip ourselves up and others in the process because
yeah.
it's like, oh, you're good, but you know, if you just do this,
mm-hmm.
you know, now if God leads you to share something along the lines that will be beneficial
right.
to them, that's,
mm-hmm.
but if you're doing it out of your own flesh,
oh yeah.
Fix
what you're really saying then is if he would just do this, I would feel better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is altogether different than you would be edified, right?
Yeah,
amen.
Can't
yes,
go into the garbage heap.
I've seen it like in iFunnies and as jokes and you know, real life stories where it's serious
mm-hmm.
where women have this habit of being attracted to the wild and untamed man.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they start pursuing them, they settle down to the role of taming that man.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they're tame, they're boring. They
mm-hmm.
don't want nothing to do with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start, look, you know, their eyes start gazing elsewhere.
That's right.
I've seen it on iFunnies where it's like a joke and it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it in like stories of real life people that, you know, they're attracted to this guy. He rode a motorcycle and did all this stuff. And now he's a family man and he's boring,
mm-hmm.
and her eyes are looking at this other guy, and
mm-hmm.
you know, in a you know, not a good way. It's
yeah.
like, you know, it's like,
I had the other.
It's
the boring's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Well, it's you know, it's sad because
yeah.
that you know you think you're doing what you want to do to, because then you'll be happy, and then
mm-hmm.
once you get it done.
You're not happy.
Not happy.
Yeah, and one of the many lessons you can get out of that is that happiness isn't found in people.
Right, exactly.
And our role in godly transformation is to model after the character of God.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Because your words and your gifts are going to do nothing. They're not going to produce anything if you're not living it. And how do I know I'm living it? I love Him. I love God first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll find myself living it. And then my words and my giftings have some authority and punch behind them. Yes, honey?
Well, when you were talking earlier, obviously he's pointing outward toward people. But mm-hmm. I was also thinking of love as in loving God first. And that, you know, it isn't about just loving outward, but first loving God, in that we're supposed to desire it, because how much is the Holy Spirit just sitting there on the edge of his seat wanting to have a voice?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we are not willing and desiring to be a voice for him
mm-hmm.
in these areas. You know, we're hindering the Holy Spirit, and that's part of our love for the Godhead.
Yeah.
Is recognizing that they want to use us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's our place of love to them
to allow
to
ourselves.
Offer ourselves a
Amen.
Living sacrifice.
Amen. Absolutely. Good. We literally, when we do refuse to be used, we literally are tying God's hands behind his back.
Right.
And, you know, that's not okay. But, you know, on the positive end, if we love God and desire spiritual gifts, well, then we're right where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.